Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Well, I do have a word for the church this morning. The last three or four weeks, I've been really focusing in on, you know, God, what word do you have for Christian ministries in Southwest Missouri? And God's just really had this continual thing going over and over in me really, really pretty loud for the last month. And it's obviously for my own personal life, but I believe it's also for the church here, and I want to bring that to you here this morning. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to dive off into the Word here this morning. Father, we just commit our minds and our hearts to you today. Lord, we position ourselves to hear your voice, to be touched by your Holy Spirit, to receive an impartation and revelation from straight from your throne. God, that as we are here in this place, we will have our hearts touched by you. God, that we won't come into this building today and leave here without being touched by you. So, Father, we're believing you today for you to impart revelation, for your Holy Spirit to touch us. Come on, work with me here this morning. Work with me. God, just touch my heart. Go ahead and position your mind. Position your heart to receive from the Lord what God has for you today. So, Father, we just commit this time to you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you today on the topic of an obedient heart. An obedient heart. God's always, 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 from the very beginning of time, has had a father's heart. That is the heart of our God. Our God has a father's heart. And as a father, a good father, what he's always wanting to do with his children is capture their hearts. You know, that's always been the most important thing to me as a father, is that I capture the heart of my children. I want to capture them, and I want them to love me, and I want to love them, and I want to have that kind of relationship with them and that type of connection. And that's what God did with Adam from the very beginning of time. You know, Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. So God's all about capturing the hearts of people. One of my favorite scriptures is 2 Chronicles 16:9. And if you want to look there, you certainly can. 2 Chronicles 16:9, it goes like this. It says, "The eyes of the Lord search back and forth across the whole earth, searching." And just think about that. God's eyes searching, searching, searching all across the earth, searching 24 hours a day, searching 365 days a year, searching, scanning, searching. The eyes of the Lord move back and forth across the whole earth, searching for people. That's who God's searching for. And it says God is searching for peoples whose hearts are fully committed to him. And it says when God finds a person like that, God will get behind that person. He'll commit to that individual, and he'll help make that individual be the person of influence that he birthed them to be in this world. Because God is always looking for people. You know, I think about Solomon, and you remember God told Solomon, "Hey, Solomon, I'll give you whatever you want. You just tell me, what is it?" How'd you like God to come to you and say that? And he's like, "Whatever you want, you can have it. Whatever you want, you just tell me what you want." You know, and, you know, of course, a lot of people, you think they would say, you know, money and houses and property and things like that. But that's not what Solomon said. Solomon said, "God, I want you to give me wisdom." And that really revealed the heart of Solomon, I believe, you know, and God did. God made Solomon the wisest man in the world, probably that's ever lived. Because obviously you go read Proverbs and you read all the things that Solomon wrote. They're really amazing to read. And so Solomon was this incredibly wise leader. He knew about horticulture, agriculture, astronomy, medicine. I mean, this guy was brilliant. And what people would do is they would come from all these different kingdoms. And of course, you know, they didn't have Uber or anything like that. So, you know, you got to mount up on the horse or the camel or whatever you're going to do or walk. And it takes a long time to get there. So it was a big inconvenience. But people would come from all over, from all different kingdoms, just to sit under the wisdom of this man who had all this counsel. And so just imagine this church today, You know, word got out that Solomon was going to be here speaking. And Solomon came, and I can just imagine this building and all this property out here. You know, we'd have TV monitors set up outside and loudspeakers, and people would come from all around to hear what Solomon had to say. And Solomon steps up to the podium. He opens up the Torah, taps on the mic. And he opens his mouth, and here's what he says. Above everything else that I can tell you today, guard your heart. Because from it come all the other issues of your life. Now, people travel from all over to hear all of this wisdom. And Solomon says, out of all the things that I know, all the wisdom that God's given me, all of the vast knowledge that God has opened up to me, all of the incredible revelation that God has released to me, here's what I'm going to tell you. Above all else, above everything that I could teach you or everything that I could tell you, guard your heart. And church, God is all about capturing the heart of people. That's what God wants to do. A heart of obedience is what God desires. And that God continually brings me back to that theme in my life over and over and over again. I remember when I was a lot like a lot of the Leaders Academy interns that are here and a lot of the young people here in the building at 23 years old, I gave my heart to Christ. And that was really a mantra that God gave me, was faithfulness and obedience. Those were the two mantras in my life that God gave me. And those are the things that continually resonate in my life all the time. They're things that never leave me. They're always there. Paul, you have to be faithful. You have to be obedient. You have to be faithful. You have to remain obedient. You have to remain faithful. You have to remain obedient over and over and over. God continually gives me that because a heart of obedience is what the Lord wants. Turn with me to Deuteronomy this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 30, and I want to look at a scripture with you. Deuteronomy chapter 30, God is calling his people to return to him. Return to him, and not just physically, but mentally, emotionally, spiritually, to come back to him. And in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6, I want you to really focus on this because this is a really important verse that God has. Now, I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. You may have the New Living or the NIV, whatever you have, and they're all fairly close. But it says, "The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants," that's your children, and your grandchildren's children, "so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul," and watch this, "and live." Now, I just think about that. You know, we all understand circumcision. It's a cutting away of the foreskin. But what God is talking about here, he's talking about the circumcision of our hearts, the cutting away of the rebel in our life. And we all have that rascal in us, that rebel in our life that just wants to go against the grain, that wants to be disobedient. You know, young people, you want to kind of go against what your parents tell you to do. You know, we all have that rebel in us. And God's saying, what I'm going to do is I'm going to raise up a generation of people that their hearts are going to be circumcised. And this remnant of people that I'm going to raise up in the last days is going to be a remnant of people who they don't follow me out of an obligation. They don't follow me because mom and dad says that you have to obey and mind, young people. You know, right? Your mom and dad, y'all, they tell y'all things to do, right? Make your bed, take out the trash, clean your room, be responsible, go to bed on time. All of these things that your mom and dad are trying to train you and teach you in. And so God's wanting to bring us all to a place where he is the father and we are this child and we just have this willing obedience to do what he wants us to do. Joshua and Ashlyn here, they've got their little baby. And one of the things that are going to happen, and is already is happening, is this little baby is going to capture your heart. Captures the family, right? It even captures other people in the church. Because it's that love that envelops you, right? And it grabs you. And so, I remember with my boys growing up, those wonderful times, and you're entering into this phase, which is going to be really awesome. And it doesn't last super long. But it's a wonderful stage where you have those moments where you kick back in your chair and you take your baby and you lay your baby right here on your chest. And even as they start getting older and they get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then they get kind of heavy, you know, when they lay in your lap, and my boys would do that even as they got older, and they would lay their head right here on my chest. And, you know, when you're a child, I remember listening to my dad's heartbeat. And I don't know if y'all have ever done that, but, you really put your ear up. It's kind of like a whoosh, 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 whoosh. It's got this different sound. And I still remember that as a young child, listening to that, you know, and hearing that whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And, you know, what God's wanting to do with his people is he brings us to a place where God doesn't have to command us what to do. You know, he's not giving us orders what to do. But what God's wanting us to do is we come to that place to where our ears up against the bosom of God's chest, and we're hearing that. And so what we're doing is because we're so connected with our Father and his heartbeat, God doesn't have to command us to do things. We just willingly obey the flow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You willingly obey the flow of the heartbeat of God in your life, where you're so in tune with God's heart and what God's doing, you hear his heartbeat. And that's what it's saying here in verse 6. It's saying God will, in the New Living, it says God will change your heart. God changed my heart. I remember where I used to feel like I was enforced to do things. There was enforcement. I had to do it. I was made to do it. But there's just this wonderful thing that happens in your life when you go from living by the letter of the law to living by the heartbeat of God. That coming into that obedient place in your life. And that's what God says. God said in the future, I'm going to have a remnant of people that I'm going to raise up, and I'm going to circumcise their heart, and they're going to obey me, not because of fear of punishment, not because they're following a lot of rules, but they're going to love me and follow me because that's their desire. And I wake up in the mornings and I'm like, God, here is my primary concern today. I want to do what's pleasing to you. You know, I'll tell you, listen, church, honestly, you don't have to pray for God to make you a better father or a better husband or a better son or a better daughter or a better student or a better leader. You really don't have to pray for those things if you'll pray, God, change my heart. Help my heart, God, be connected to you in such a way that the same blood that flows through your veins, when your heart beats fast, I want my heart to beat fast. What your heart is excited about, I want my heart to be excited about. What your heart has disdain over, I want my heart to have that same disdain. What is unpleasing to you becomes unpleasing to me, and what is a passion of yours becomes a passion of mine. That's the type of obedience that God is looking for. Turn with me to Isaiah, and I want you to look at this together, and this is going to be really kind of where we stay this morning. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. And I just want to read a few verses together. And we're going to start in verse 10. And we're just going to read together here a few verses. Now I'm going to be reading this time out of the New Living Translation. So Isaiah chapter 1, starting with verse 10. Listen to the Lord, you leaders. So here's Isaiah, a major prophet, right, for the Lord. And he's bringing a word to God's people directly from the throne. He's speaking on behalf of God here. And this is what God has given him for the people. He says, listen to the Lord, you leaders of Sodom. Listen to the law of our God, people of Gomorrah. What makes you think I want all of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I'm sick of your burnt offerings, of rams and the fat of fattened cattle. I get no pleasure from the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to worship me, who asked you to parade through my courts with all your ceremony? Stop bringing me your meaningless gifts. The incense of your offerings disgust me. And as for your celebrations of new moon and the Sabbath and your special days of fasting, they are sinful and they are false. I want no more of your pious meetings. I hate your new moon celebrations and your annual festivals. They're a burden to me. I can't stand them. And when you lift up your hands in prayer, I won't look. Though you offer many prayers, I will not listen. For your hands are covered with the blood of innocent victims. Wash yourselves and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. Now watch this, verse 17. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of the orphans. Fight for the rights of widows. Come now. Let's settle this, says the Lord. Yours may say, let's reason together. Let's examine this. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Can I have an amen? Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. Now, verse 19, here it is. If you will only obey me, you will have plenty. But if you turn away and refuse to listen, you will be devoured by the sword of your enemies. I, the Lord, have spoken. Now, verse 19 is what I want to focus on. Verse 19. In the New American Standard, and I believe in the NIV and several other translations, I like the way it says it a little better because it words it a little bit differently. It says this. It says, if you are willing and obedient, you will live. Now, young people, all the young people in here, I want y'all to listen to me a minute. Especially you guys like, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and even into your teen years. So, how many of y'all know it's important that you obey your mom and dad? Let me see your hands, right? So it's important that we obey. And even all of us adults, we understand that it's important, and that's why as adults, we teach you to obey when you're a child because we know the importance of it. But I want you to notice in verse 19, it says, if you are willing and obedient. Now, I'm smart enough to know that I can tell somebody to sit down, sit down. And they sit down. But on the inside, I mean, jaw locked. Now, they're sitting down, but if you could see a picture of their spirit, man. But, you know, I think a lot of people live their life there. Man, they walk into church. We got our hands up. We come down to the altar. We do all of these things. But on the inside, if people could literally look through you and see an image of your spirit man. When God requires things of you, and God requires things of all of us, sometimes God requires things of us that are very difficult. Like, for example, you need to forgive them. And you know you do. I forgive you. I was counseling this young girl one time, and she had come in me, and she was very, very upset with her dad. She was 17. She was a junior, and she had been asked to go to prom, and her dad would not let her go with this guy because he was a, no, she was a sophomore. That's what she was. She was a sophomore, and this guy was a senior. And I mean, he was an okay guy. I mean, he wasn't a bad guy necessarily. But she went to her dad and said, "Dad, can I go with this guy to the prom?" And her dad said, "No, you can't go with this guy." "Well, why not?" "Well, honey, you're just going to have to trust me. I don't know what to really tell you, but you're just going to have to trust Dad." Yeah, have y'all ever had your mom and dad say something like that to you? I mean, we've all been there. You young people that are here, listen, don't think that your mom and dad haven't heard the exact same thing that you've been told. And there's always the well-known one. "Why?" "Because I said so." You know, we've all heard that many, many times. So she was very upset with me. I mean, couldn't just get past, you know, what in the world? Why? I mean, I'm not doing anything bad. I'm not doing anything wrong. Why won't my dad let me go? So I said, "What did you do?" She said, "Well, I went back and told him, my dad said I can't go." I said, "Oh." I said, "So that's what you said?" She said, "That's exactly what I said." I said, "You know what? That's not what you said." She looked at me funny. "What are you talking about? That is exactly what I said." "No," I said, "that's not what you said. That may have been the words that came out of your mouth. But what you said was, my dad said I can't go. But if it wasn't up to him, I would go. And I'm letting you know that I would go, even though my dad said I couldn't go." So here we have a situation of a heart that is not captured by the Father. And I think for so many of us, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves living in that place when God asks us or requires of us to do different things. Come on, are y'all hearing what I'm saying? See, God is looking for an obedient heart, a captured heart, a captured heart. If you are willing and obedient, you will live. Well, I don't know about y'all, but I want to live. Because Christ said, "I came to give you that abundant life." Well, that abundant life is going to come as we put our ear up against the chest of God's bosom and we listen. Now, I've lived long enough now to know that there's a lot of seasons and transitions in life. And there's one constant that remains the same: change. And you guys now, just like Christian ministries, and it's really unique how this is kind of timelines have crossed, but they have. Because I remember some 6-7 years ago when the Lord gave me the word about the accelerated work he was going to do here, and just boom, all of a sudden here we are. But we all go through these transitions and seasons. And Christian Ministries in Hot Springs is definitely in one. We're having to learn new things. We're having to do things differently. Things are changing for us. My wife and I together, we're just in a new season. First time in 21 years, we hadn't anybody in our house. Y'all are kind of in that same spot. So it's navigating these transitionary times in our life that are very hard and very difficult. And if we're not careful, what we will do is, you know, as Pastor Ashley is communicating this vision, because, you know, God, when God anoints someone, church, when he pours the oil of his anointing on a leader, it starts on his head and it flows down. Okay? The vision of the king flows down through the kingdom. And I'm not saying that Ashley is a king, but he and Michelle are the leadership of this church. And so this anointing is going to be poured here and it's going to flow out. And you can be a follower or a willing follower. Really good. And there is a difference, because a follower murmuring and complaining the whole way, that was the heart of the rebel band of children of Israel that were in the wilderness. But God says, I'm going to raise up a people whose hearts are circumcised. And they're going to willingly follow me and obey me because that's my desire. Now, I want to give you three benefits this morning because I want to make this practical, okay? As I give this word, I'm going to give you three benefits of an obedient heart. Three benefits of an obedient heart. Number one, strength to fight spiritual battles and possess God's promises. An obedient heart will give you the strength to fight spiritual battles and possess God's promises. Each of us have battles that we face. We have dreams that we want to see come to pass. And as we walk out this life that God has given each one of us, obedience will empower you to possess the blessings that God has for your life. See, that's what God was trying to teach the children of Israel. Not following the law, but willful obedience. See, they just couldn't get past, I have to do it. I don't want to do it. I'm commanded to do it. God was trying to bring them to a place where they saw the benefits of it. See, young people, listen, there's benefits of minding your mom and dad. I'm telling you. You know, not that I bribe people, but when people willingly obey what I want them to do, I bless them. I do, and I want to bless them. Y'all know what I'm talking about? How many of you parents in here, when your kids do what you want them to do willfully, they don't, you know, like, hey, do you mind getting that trash? And I mean, you know, it's like they're dying because they have to take the trash out. Son, go clean up your bathroom. Get all that. You got 5 pounds of toothpaste in the bottom of your sink. Go clean that up. Good Lord, what is that in there? You know, pick your stuff up. You know, and around my house, I just turned it around. And y'all want to borrow this, those of you that are raising kids, I'll give this to you. This is a freebie. But this is what I did with my kids. They started that eye rolling stuff. And when I ask them to take out the trash or, you know, all the, and so they'd come to me, hey, Dad, can I have so-and-so spend the night Friday night? And they're like, Dad. I said, well, hey, it works both ways. It works both ways. When I ask you to take out the trash and you say, Dad, no problem. Hey, Monday, you know, I'm letting you know on Monday that Thursday we got yard work, because I don't just like springing stuff on my kids. I mean, you don't want to purposely frustrate your children. So, you know, dads, don't just drop it on them. Like, get out there in the yard. I mean, well, they're going to be mad at you. You just incited rebellion in their heart. They're going to be mad. So you got to be smart, you know. My kids, they just don't want to obey me. Well, they want to obey you when you do it right. But when you put them in a position to frustrate them, and the Bible talks about that, don't, especially fathers, don't incite your children to wrath. So if you spring it on them right there instantly, go out there and do that. They're like, I got a life too. I got plans. I got people. I got friends. I got video games to play. What are you talking about? But, you know, that two-way street, man, it's amazing. Sure, Dad, no problem. But they saw the benefits. And, church, I'm wanting you to see there are benefits to following the Lord. And by being obedient to God, willfully obedient, it positions you. See, God, you'll line your life up for God's promises and God's blessings to come in your life. Number two. The second benefit, obedience brings longevity to God's provisions and blessings. Now, this is an important one, because what I mean by this is many people start out with an attitude of willing obedience, but then, you know, Ashley crosses them, makes them mad. Some leader, your mom, your dad, your mate, your spouse, your teacher, somebody doesn't do something to, you know, just keep you happy. But it's this attitude of willing obedience. See, I watch people, man, they start out, even in the internship, and I warn these guys about this all the time. Man, when they first get there, it's all exciting, it's fresh, it's new, it's awesome, it's great, all these new people and all these new faces, and then give it a month and a half or two. And then it's just waking up every day doing the same thing, every day waking up doing the same thing. And I tell him, I said, you think you're tired of doing it? You've only done it for two months. I've done it for 28 plus years, doing the exact same thing all the time. Walking in obedience ensures you're positioning yourself for God to bless you. And walking in disobedience removes you from that position for God to bless you. I've watched men, they get married, they're faithful to their wife, they're loving their wife, they're committed to their wife, they're doing everything that they can, and they stay obedient and really work that marriage for years. But in one act of disobedience, they destroy everything that they work for. They bring calamity on their family, on their children, on their friends, all kinds of problems. I watch young people, you're minding, you're obeying, you're doing what you're supposed to do, you're trying to live a godly life and do the right thing, and then in one act of disobedience, you destroy all the trust that you have built up in the hearts of your parents through one act of disobedience, and then your parents tell you, well, I just don't know if I can trust you. And it's a frustrating place to be in as a young person, because I remember being told that, how frustrating it was. Well, I worked so hard to get here, and you mean in one thing I lost it? Yep. That's just the way life works. And that's why it's so important that you walk in obedience. See, through obedience, God can bless your home. He can bless your business. He can bless your life. He can promote you. He can advance you. But what God can do is, as you walk in that longevity of that obedience, God can begin to build upon what He is building in your life. And you can go, and that's where the scripture says, glory to glory, line upon line, precept upon precept. The Bible talks about God expanding your tent, stretching out the strings of your tent, driving in the stakes of your tent deeper so that God might expand you and enlarge you and grow you. And that's what we all want. Well, that happens through obedience over a long period of time. Number three, the third benefit, obedience makes it possible for God to do what we can't possibly do. Obedience makes it possible for God to do what we can't possibly do. We all have things hidden in our hearts. I have some dreams. I have no idea how they could happen. I really have no clue how they can come about. They're big. I want them to happen. I don't really know how they can happen. I have desires. Everybody in here is probably in the same boat. You have things that you want to have happen. But there are always those things beyond our reach. We just can't make it happen. But I'm going to tell you something. Obedience can. You can't make it rain. That's outside of your control, but not God's. But I remember a guy who prayed that it would rain. And I remember a guy who prayed that it wouldn't rain. And it didn't rain. For 3.5 years, it didn't rain. That's a long time not having your rain. We went for like 15 days in Hot Springs this month with no rain. We had a huge forest fire breakout just last week right around our area. Can you imagine 3.5 years? And then he prayed that it would rain, and it rained. Well, why did that happen? Obedience. Doing what God wanted him to do. You can't afford to start that business, but God can make a way. You can't heal that wound, but God can. You can't make a hard heart soft, but God can. I love Isaiah 43, verse 16 through 19. Listen, it says, thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They are extinguished. They are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. See, God can do what we can't do as we walk in obedience. You know, I wanted my dad to be saved for a very long time. Many of y'all know my testimony. I grew up in a broken home. My father was an alcoholic for many, many years. And when I was in my teens, I kind of broke off communication with my father and didn't have a lot to do with him until I was probably almost 24. And I got saved at 23. My dad was not saved. I wanted my dad desperately to be saved because I didn't want my dad to go to hell, right? We don't want anybody going there, no matter how bad of a person or wicked they may be. We don't want anybody going there. And so I really began to pray. And, you know, I know other people had been praying for my dad long before I had. But over a period of 7 years, I prayed for my dad to be saved after I got saved. And I just kept praying and praying and praying. And God answered my prayers. And my father gave his heart to Christ. And he came to know the Lord. And I really, really believe that that was a result of me walking in continual obedience. Because my father was able to observe and watch that what I have is real. It wasn't just something I was trying out for a weekend. Or just something I was doing because I got excited, you know, in a season in my life. Or I went to camp and I got the camp buzz and, you know, I'm going to do it for a little while and now I'm not. Or God blessed me in some way, maybe financially or something. And so now, man, I'm really giving God the high five and the glory, and I do that for about a month, then I'm not coming to church anymore. No, God wants to bless us. God is watching. God is keeping score, and God rewards. Now, I want to end with this because this is kind of a caution for us all. Disobedience in our lives gives Satan legal access to your life. It gives him legal access. It's like leaving your home with your door wide open and going on vacation. Now, none of us would do that, not intentionally anyway. Now, we might forget and do it, but not intentionally. We lock everything up because we want it to be protected. But it's vital that we stay vigilant at tilling the soil of our heart, church, that we stay soft to the Lord because that soft, humble heart before the Lord is what keeps us in that place of willing obedience where we can hear the heartbeat of God and we can be directed by God wherever He wants us to go, say to whoever God wants us to say, bless whoever God wants us to bless. So we just are in that position where we're hearing that heartbeat. But a prideful heart, men, because that's what we can do. We can get prideful. Young men, prideful. The Bible says that pride is as the sin of witchcraft. It's a dangerous thing. God wants you to be humble. God wants you to be soft. God wants your heart to be plowed up. A stubborn heart, a prideful heart, a wayward heart. A wayward heart. A wayward heart's like that sophomore girl, you know. She's living at home, she's obeying her parents, but I'm only doing it because I have to right now. And when I move out of this house, I'm going to do what I want to do. And God wants us all to be in this place where Father knows best. And you know, church, sometimes God's going to ask you to do things that aren't going to make sense to you. He's going to ask you to move. He's going to ask you to start a new business. He's going to ask you to go and give something or to retreat from something or to stop investing in something. It's going to make no sense to you, and you're not even going to know why. But what I'm telling you is if we can get our ear up against the bosom of God, we can hear God's heartbeat, and God's heartbeat can direct us in every decision that we make. You know, you young women in here, that are in your, you know, late teenage years, your early 20s, you're still single. Maybe some of you a little older than that, you're still single. You're believing God for God to bring you a mate into your life. I want to encourage you. You got to let God's heartbeat guide that decision, not your timeline. Not, well, you know, my biological clock's ticking. I'm not getting any younger. Listen, you better be letting do, right there. Let that guide you. Young people, considering going off to college. What am I going to do? Well, I think I'll go into the military. Did God tell you to go into the military? Well, I think I'm going to go to this college. Did God tell you to go to that college? Well, I don't know. Well, it might be a good idea that you consult him before you do that. You husbands in here, I'm thinking about investing in this or starting that. Did God tell you to do that? When's the last time you consulted the Lord about that? Well, Paul, I consulted the Lord about that. He didn't say anything to me. Well, then keep consulting him until he does. Because if you get your heart up against the bosom of God, you'll hear God speak to you. And see, the longer that we get in God's Word and we read His Word and we cultivate that relationship with Him, the easier it's going to be for us to know what it is that He wants us to do. Let me give you an example. My sons know what it is that I wanted them to do as they were growing up. How? Because they knew Dad's heart. And so now it's like, well, I'm not going to do that. Why? Well, because that wouldn't please my father. Not because, well, because I can't. No, just because that wouldn't please Dad. That wouldn't make him happy. And I want to do what's going to make Dad happy. And church, that's where God wants to bring all of us, is that we're doing what pleases Him. That our motivation and our desire is to do what pleases Him. I want to honor God. I want to walk in obedience. I want to cultivate my prayer life. I want to be in my Word. I want to give to other people. I want to invest. I want to encourage. But understand that there was a group of people. They were coming to church. They were raising their hands. They were coming to the altar. They were making their sacrifices. They were going through all the motions of connect groups and life groups and doing all the things. God says, I don't like none of that. I'm sick of it. See, so just because we're doing those things doesn't mean that pleases the Lord. And it's like, well, God, isn't it enough that I'm doing it? It's not enough. It's not enough that we're just doing it. What's enough is that we have a willing heart when we do it. I'm just like you. There's been times I didn't want to go to life group. What do y'all call them? I don't want to go to life group. And I'm usually the one, used to be, was the one putting them on all the time. So I really didn't want to go. You think you don't want to come? I got to get it all together. I definitely don't want to come. It's just like preaching. You know, saying, well, okay, we all got to go to church. Well, all you got to do is show up and sit in a chair. The pastor's the one that had to study and study and study and get a word together and make all of it happen and get up early and do all of that. So, you know, don't act like you didn't want to be here. He didn't want to be here either. But we got to constantly bring our hearts to that place where, God, forgive me. God, I want to be willing. I want to be obedient because we love Him. We love Him. And we want to do what is pleasing to Him. Young people, listen to me. How many of y'all want your mom and dad to bless you in life? Well, let me give you a clue. Don't just do what they ask you to do. But you get a heart that wants to please them, to make them proud, and to love them, and to do what pleases them. And you get your heart to a place where you're not just gritting your teeth mad and upset with your mom and your dad all the time, and they're making me, and, you know, that's rebellion. You got to get that out of your life. That'll disqualify you from doing so many great things. We drive peace out of our homes and out of our lives because our hearts aren't where they need to be. But boy, I tell you, we get our hearts right and we're doing it for the right reason. God begins to open up all these great things for us. God begins to bless us. God begins to promote us. God begins to move us forward. And I'm telling you, church, when that happens, there is not any thing, listen, the eyes of the Lord, as I close, search back and forth. God's scanning, searching, scanning, looking, searching, looking, scanning. For what? For people. For people, young and old, whose hearts are fully committed to Him. God doesn't care what size you are. God doesn't care what color you are. God doesn't care how much money you have. God doesn't care from what side of the fence you came from. God doesn't care about the mistakes of your past. What God is concerned with is your heart. And God says, I'm scanning 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. I'm scanning. I'm looking across the whole earth, and I'm searching for people, young people, older people, young people, mature people, godly people whose hearts. And when I find a heart like that, I'll get behind that person. I will get behind them. I will commit to them. I will support them, and I will help them every way that I can.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.